Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City, online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
You talking to me?
I'm walking here.
Welcome to Sports Talk, the Friday edition. Really getting into the teeth of conference play. We are 4 weeks from right now, today. It'll be the first full day of March Madness. And it's like, when I realized that this morning, it's like, that's cool. And everything's personal, especially when you follow sports. I mean, actually, I think I was kind of amazed as we welcome you to the program. Ways to get involved, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571 for all of your diesel needs. Online, OregonFuelInjection.com. Been providing you their A-plus service since 1974. Just quick sidetrack, because we never do that. So I was watching SportsCenter. My wife and I were watching our Thursday night shows, I don't know, Grey's Anatomy or something like that. And then I had SportsCenter on, and I kind of was taking some notes and I think I was feeding my dog some treats. And out of the corner of my eye, I just saw something like, best player in the world. Pause, rewind. Joel Embiid called himself the best player in the world? You know, every once in a while, somebody says something and they're literally the only one in the world that believes it. That's pretty hard to do. Well, I guess the one thing, dude doesn't lack confidence. But anyway, it just seemed, and like, why all of a sudden last night? It's like, I just played and all of a sudden he looked around and he says, I'm the best player in the world. No, you're not. Well, first of all, again, it's like the conversations we've had when we've evaluated players, whether it's a quarterback like Montana or Brady or Elway. It's like, no, you're only like the sixth best quarterback in the world. You're like the eighth best basketball player in the world. That makes you pretty good. It's not really an insult. But anyway, gang. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk a bunch of Ducks with Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated. We'll play, are we calling it the quarterback carousel or quarterback musical chairs?
Dealer's choice there, really. I mean, QB carousel, quarterback musical chairs. I think QB carousel kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit better.
QB carousel's not bad.
Yeah. The only problem with that is that it's really hard for me to spell carousel.
Did you get it right the first time?
I did.
That's
not
the main
no,
thing.
No, I had to spell check it, and then I had to spell check it again, because even when spell check was like, did you mean this? I had to Google it to be like, is that what I'm actually spelling? Because I've done that before. I'll spell a word so wrong that Microsoft Word is like, did you mean this? And then that'll pop up, and I was like, that's also not the word I was looking for. What am I looking for here? I'm that bad at spelling. That bad at math, too. I don't know how I got here. Don't tell anybody. Not the brightest.
284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on in. text us 321-0824. You can also try us on Twitter at 953 the score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for the show, or you can hit up Nick at Rick Nodgers. I saw on one of the business sites that they're having a reunion of the cast of Friends on HBO Max. And so this service launches in May. And, you know, Friends was one of those shows that did not finish well, as they say. Funny show, clever. Oh, you know, six friends living in New York City, kind of, you know, down by NYU, you know, not Midtown, not where Seinfeld took place. And funny, cool. We were on a break, and two of them getting together, and Courtney Cox and what's his face, Matthew Perry. And I was reading that these shows really do, because I think, especially if you are from what I would call the connected generation, like me, where you got cable. But now, some of these streaming services have made new fans out of, like, Seinfeld and Friends. And HBO Max is going to carry the series for 5 years. They're paying $425 million. I know that when Seinfeld originally went into syndication, and it was still while the show was going. So then when the services like Netflix surfaced, just Jerry and Larry David's end were more than $50 million each. I remember these all kind of negotiations. And so you're right. And of course, the joke is, it's like they're not giving a big-time actor or screenwriter or director $50 million to create. It's like, you've done it. It's over. Now we'll give you $50 million just so we could show it. By the way, for the 85 billionth time for most people.
We need to pay you guys more money so that all of the people that have gotten used to watching this 19,000 times on one platform will now give us money to watch it a 20,000th time on our platform. And we need to pay you guys to do it.
I'm going to ask a question, and everybody take a one beat.
I'll take three.
I was up later than usual for me. I had kind of crashed out on the couch, probably 1:15 in the morning, but I was awake. And so I'm flipping through, and I'm like, I actually want to watch a Seinfeld episode. And I went on demand.
Wow.
And found one. I haven't done that for a long, long time. And I was laughing like a complete idiot, like I hadn't seen it 65,000 times. And I was like, does that have any deeper meaning? Or just every once in a while, because I really, Seinfeld is on, like, okay, I've got Xfinity. So I know it's on 755 TBS occasionally, but I don't know exactly when, and I think it's on a time where I think it might be like 5:30, so we're here. Then there's channel 702.
The CW.
Yeah, that's on at like 10 and 10:30, and my wife is usually awake watching TV then, and so I don't get to watch it. So in my mind, it's like I've probably only watched two or three Seinfeld episodes like the past 2 or 3 months. So by gum, I'm going to treat myself. And I dialed it up, and it was a very happy 22 minutes.
And then I'm sure any of the time that you pick up, you're home, it's an off day or whatever, you're homesick or something's going on, and you get the random Seinfeld episode. It's the one you've seen 19,000 times that you probably wouldn't laugh at as much as the one you've seen 16,000 times.
Yes, and they do that deliberately. I saw an interview with them, is they, obviously, they're all repeats, but they'll repeat certain ones more. So, you know, the one that says with the sneezing, you're so good looking, you won't see that one as frequently. And there's certain ones that you'll see. What they do on, I guess it's Nick at Night with Friends, they just,
in order.
I mean, whenever the last episode plays, they go season one, episode one, pilot, and just for however long it takes to play, 10 years for 3 hours a night, season one episode, all the way to season 10 episode, the grand finale.
That was how I watched Full House when I was younger. They would play it at Nick at Night, and my dad was trying to get my sister and I to both watch one show together in a room. I think he called it just probably bonding, but I think it was because he wanted, and my mom wanted to watch something else on another TV, and we only had the two, so there was no like splitting the channel or whatever. But that's how we watched Full House, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's how I watched, I caught up on The Office, was watching it on TBS, where I would like set my TiVo and I would watch all of the old episodes, and then every once in a while I'd catch like one I hadn't seen before. Same thing with like Scrubs on Comedy Central in the morning. Like one summer Scrubs was on a marathon like for three straight days on Comedy Central, and I watched like four seasons worth, and then found out it was still on TV, and then I just caught up there. And then I just bought all of the seasons on DVD and kept watching them again and again.
And again. And again.
Yeah.
The Office got big in syndication, made everybody a lot of money. I don't get The Big Bang. I've watched a couple of episodes. I mean, that's like next. I mean, aside from, I think, Seinfeld, Friends, and The Office, of the sitcoms that have come out or ended in the last 20, 25 years, this thing has just exploded, make all kinds of money, and they're viewed as like comic legends. And it's like, am I missing something? Because believe me, I watch a sitcom and I'm like, I hope I'm going to love it. I go in, it's as open-minded as I get about anything. Well, I guess with any movie or something, it's like, you want to be entertained, you want to laugh, and I'll sit there and be like, first of all, I'll say, well, it's, and not that I believe popularity always draws a direct line with quality. I think we're pretty much sure about that. But I hear, oh, you watch it, and first of all, they don't have a lot of catch lines.
They do. Bazinga is the catch.
The catch line.
Yeah.
Well, as opposed to Seinfeld, which like changed the way a lot of people speak about everything that happens in the world, from
changed
dating,
the way you speak.
Sponge-worthy, and you know, stuff like that.
Yada, yada, yada. Should have said right there. But you didn't.
So, again, folks, am I missing something?
Is there
comic brilliance happening on The Big Bang that I need to get on board with?
I don't think it's the comedic genius of the show, the writing or the acting, is anything super spectacular, but I think it's what they are covering is like a lot of like, for lack of a better term, and probably the wrong thing for anybody who cares, but it's like nerd culture. And so if you're into comics and superheroes and like you kind of grew up on that
makes
and
sense.
And you did, you know, if you lived,
because they're big into that,
yeah,
aren't they?
So
Comic-Con and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so if you were grew up kind of into that sort of that was your main interest, you would know a lot of the references and things that they're making, and then they try and tie back into other pop culture. But I don't know, like they do a lot of like Star Trek stuff, like Will Wheaton's on the show all the time, and I guess he was in Star Trek as a child, and like one of the other characters hate him because he wasn't a good actor on that show or something, and like that's the recurring joke. But to know that, you have to have had watched Star Trek going up, which I didn't do. So a lot of the jokes are just going over my head and I'm kind of missing it. But I think for the people that like that kind of content and like those kinds of things, they enjoy that show because it's making jokes about the things that they like and it's references they understand. And because I don't hang around, well, I'm not friends with a lot of those people, I don't know anybody who watches that show.
How long has that friggin' show been on the air?
2011, I want to say.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's literally a case of, I might not be a big fan. You might not be. That guy by Valley River might not be. They're literally laughing all the way to the bank. Is that still on?
2007.
Is that still on?
No, I believe it. It says here it ended in May of 2019. So it just recently ended. So you'll just be able to make fun of it in syndication now.
All right.
No longer be on CBS.
This Friends reunion, however, like I said, as a rule, that doesn't go well. There was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is obviously Larry David, but he's not a Seinfeld character. He's what you would call the co-creator, and he got them all on the show, and he's like, I'm thinking of doing a reunion, and Jerry Seinfeld's like, all we ever did our whole career was mock those cheesy reunions. And it turned out Larry David didn't care about the reunion or seeing his old friends or reviving the old comic genius. He wanted to get his ex-wife back. So he had a typical Seinfeld ulterior motive, and the episodes were actually freaking hysterical. Now, while my wife likes Seinfeld small doses, she can't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. She hates him so much because the character he plays is just an awful human being. He's like, if you take the four Seinfeld characters plus the selfishness of Newman and added them up and then multiplied them by seven, you'd get Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He just, don't say that. Yeah, he said it. Don't do that. Yeah, he did it. Don't behave in that manner. I mean, he had a bad experience at a coffee shop. So rather than like a normal person just not go there anymore, he's opening a Spike coffee shop next door to Mocha Joe's. This is where they are this year. Of Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's opening up a Spite coffee shop next door to the guy who pissed them off. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So last night, by the way, that place was rocking. I mean, Arizona State basketball traditionally has not been overly successful, and it has not been substantially supported. I mean, Bobby Hurley put out a video of, you know, come fill the bank. I'm not sure what bank. I know it used to be Wells Fargo Arena. I think it's something else right now. You sure?
Yeah, they mentioned Wells Fargo Arena last night during the broadcast. I think that's the one.
Why did I think it was? Maybe there's a different sponsor. Who the hell knows? But anyway, I mean, for them to play a game of this magnitude, this late in the season, at home and get a sellout, let me tell you something. You can count on your one hand how frequently that had happened in recent years. But that was the deal, and you could hear those fans were gung-ho. Yeah, it is Wells. Why would I doubt that? Wells Fargo Arena, what a knucklehead. But anyway, that makes them the hottest team in the conference right now. And it's weird because they had beaten Arizona in a really good game the week, I believe, the NFL playoffs took their break in between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl. Yeah. And all of a sudden it was like, huh, they beat Utah, they beat that. And then they lost at Washington State, which, as we've seen, happens. Then they won at Washington as the Huskies started their skid to the bottom of the conference. Then they beat UCLA, won a nail-biter against USC. Then they were the first team this year to go on the road in conference and win both games when they won at Maples and Haas Pavilion, when they won by five and then by five, and then they just beat Oregon. And lo and behold, here they are. And when they needed it, although it was interesting because Remy Martin did not have a great game last night. They kept him in check, but not so much. as far as Rob Edwards and Alonzo Verge, but Martin hit that three that was actually the final dagger from the corner.
They kept Martin in check by throwing elbows at him. Well, accidental elbows.
How about the 1-2 punch by Will Richardson?
Oh, man.
I don't know if I've ever seen that in a fist fight. And by the way, wasn't a foul.
I don't know how it happened. It Bill Walton looked very surprised it wasn't a foul. Bobby Hurley, who was mad about every single thing that the officials did in that game, was very upset at that as well. Maybe that's the only thing he actually had a gripe about, and if he hadn't been complaining about the tip-off being wrong, he probably would have had some leeway with the refs. But yeah, man, that was like almost got poked in the eye, but then took like a forearm, and then he took a solid elbow to the nose.
With your blood!
Yeah, I don't know if he broke anything. Maybe whatever happened, man. It's a tough kid. To come back and still be able to play?
I don't know if you buy the pay-per-view tomorrow between Fury and Wilder, you'll see a better 1-2 combo.
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah, that would be a boring fight. That would be horrible. Horrible. But I'll tell you what, you take away three long threes by Peyton Pritchard. I don't even think it's a game because they were just 8 of 28 from downtown. That's under 30%. Overall, you know, they did start to shoot better in the second half. They got in close, but Justin and Addison Patterson were the only ones who shot above 50%. Actually, I think they're the only ones that shot above 40%. And the turnovers were really costly. And again, you got to have more assists than turnovers. They did not. And points in the paint was about even. They lost by 8 points off turnovers. And, you know, in a 5-point game, that matters. And Altman's bench did not really give him a lot outside Patterson scoring-wise, and they needed it. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good evening. I want to say that what is your chance of the Oregon Ducks? You think they can beat California tonight at California?
They're going to beat them by 40. What do you think of that?
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to say by 50.
Oh, all right. Pretty bold, Steven. And you enjoy your weekend there in the Sunshine State. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Quick shout-out as we get into this final week of February. Final weekend of February. Well, I guess because of leap year, next Saturday is the 29th. And by the way, the jokes for people who were born on the 29th and are turning 40 and have a 10th birthday party, just stop.
No, it's fun.
I have a cousin who was born on the 29th. That used to drive her nuts.
But come on, that kind of ball, that doesn't happen to a lot of people. Like, literally, the odds of you, like,
being born on the 29th,
being born on a leap year day are astronomical. Like, come on. I think if you're born on that day, you either tell people that, one, you're not, or you just lean into the jokes.
Cameron on Modern Family is born on the 29th. And the one episode, I read a write-up on it. It said it may have set a sitcom record for eye rolls with the jokes about being born on the 29th. All right, let us take a break. And upon our return, we'll have an update and we'll talk some Ducks with Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated next, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top 5 RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
We work pretty hard to get ourselves back in it. We get it tidy. 54-54, Chris misses the front end. Peyton misses the layup. We had 2 chances to go ahead. We missed 3 or 4 layups at the rim late. You know, just didn't give ourselves a chance. We had it right there. We fought back. I was really proud of the guys fighting back. Then when we got it there, we just weren't tough enough at the free throw line, tough enough handling the ball.
That was Coach Altman post-game after last night's 77-72 loss at Tempe to Arizona State. As we welcome you back, Sports Talk 95.3, the score. We'll lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and welcome in our guest. The new edition of Ducks Illustrated is out now. You got a picture of a couple of pretty prolific senior hoopers with Peyton Pritchard and Sabrina Ionescu. And just full, chock full of information and photos and opinion and good stuff. If you're loving your Ducks, let's welcome in Jerry Thompson. JT, happy Friday to ye. How are things going?
It's great, Steve. The sun's shining. The band is playing. Another victory last night would have been nice. But other than that, everything's great.
Yeah, they. This conference is just kind of an entity unto itself, but the one thing, by the way, the key here is I wrote my article, you had your cover shot, we didn't collaborate, and we hit on the same thing about, I called it holding serve, your title was No Place Like Home, and the football team won them all at Autzen, both basketball teams have won them all at Matthew Knight Arena. And, you know, it's different in pro sports, in the NFL, and the NBA, and MLB. If you win all your games at home, that's just half. But especially in basketball, you win all your games at home. That's a lot of wins. That gets you a nice way to some goals.
Yes. Are you saying that great minds think alike? Is that what you were trying to imply there?
I was insinuating it. I needed somebody else to say it.
Yeah. Well, boy, the men, you know, have been really close to not holding serve, but they, you know, that USC double overtime and the Colorado game, they pulled it out. Those were heart stoppers, but they did it. The women, it's more like, 25, 30-point, 40-point wins, 50 points against Cal, 105 to 55. So it's a little more enjoyable when the women are playing at home, I think, unless you just are kind of a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, coming into Matthew Knight Arena right now and to take on this women's team is a house of horrors. But, you know, we've been speaking with Kelly Graves once a week during the season for the better part of 3 or 4 years, and he talks about his assistants in just glowing terms. And you put the spotlight on Mark Campbell, who, you know, anybody watches the game, go to the games, you know, he usually sits next to Jody. And, you know, it's hard to put a tangible value on, but, I mean, he's the kind of assistant that a head coach just really appreciates how valuable he is.
Well, a tangible value is the fact that he's the head recruiter and they're getting 5 McDonald's All-Americans next year. Now, of course, Kelly Graves has a lot to do with that, but he was also the head recruiter at Oregon State and got 3 or 4 exceptional guards there, and he's responsible for the guards. So I think there's some tangible things as far as building up a program that now averages around 11,000 people and fans in the seats, and hopefully he'll get a good raise along with Coach Graves, because he's obviously contributing. He's recruiting, guards, defense. Defense has been improving. He's got some good responsibilities there. I call him the mild-mannered super assistant.
Yeah, you brought up a good point, and I don't want to just gloss over it, because when you think of this team and in recent years, Kelly Graves will even be the first one to bring it up, how they spread the floor, one of the best shooting teams, obviously with Sabrina and the pick and roll with Ruthie Hebert and, you know, the multi-skilled kind of unicorn that Satu is in the three-point shooters. But, man, their defense has been noticeably better not only this year, but as the seasons moved along, and part of it's because of him. And I think you can't discount Mignon Moore and what she brings to the table as well.
Oh, she's been a big factor. But I think overall they've just Sabrina, everybody is just are so hungry for a championship, they realize that's the area they need to improve on. The thing about Mark Campbell is interesting to me is his pedigree and also his playing days. He played at Hawaii for 2 years, made the NCAA tournament. Before that, he's at Clackamas Community College and averaged his sophomore year 10 assists a game. So he's very good at knowing how guards should play. His highlight was chinking two free throws against Tulsa to get into the NCAA championship, and as he married Ashley Smith, her dad Brad Smith was I don't know if he's the winningest high school coach of girls basketball in the state of Oregon, but he must be close to it. He continually produced NCAA players out of Oregon City. So Mark Campbell married Brad Smith, the coach's daughter, Ashley Smith. She was so good, she got a scholarship at Vanderbilt. So they got, and then his brother, Mark's brother, is the head coach of a high school here in Oregon. Can't recall exactly which school now, but they're definitely basketball family.
Yeah, that's kind of an understatement at this point. You mentioned the McDonald's All-Americans, and obviously we know now that Satu is going. Obviously Ruthie and Sabrina are seniors, and who's coming back, whether it's going to be Boley or Chavez, Winterburn, one of the freshmen. But I've really gotten a kick out of watching Jazz Shelley. I mean, she's a true freshman. I know some of these international players, they get a little, they mature a little differently because of the level of competition. But whether it's an it factor, there's something about her. Whether she's playing offense, she'll take a three, she'll drive, she handles the ball defensively. She just seems unfazed by the whole thing and just fitting in with this great team and all these expectations.
Yeah, that's a good observation. Before we go to her, let's hope Sedona Prisco and Nyara Hassabaly also come back Chavez because they will come back. Just hope that they're healthy. Along with those five McDonald's All-Americans, that will put less pressure on Jazz Shelley. I remember I was talking to Kelly Graves. I think it was during his movie role in my film. But he was raving about Jazz Shelley. Thought she was probably the best point guard in the whole world of her age. So I was expecting good things, and she hasn't let us down. Obviously, mostly, though, you think of her as a shooter. I mean, she gets that ball released almost as quick as Aaron Boley. And, one of the highlights is that 4-for-4 against Arizona State, that revenge game. But, yeah, she's her and Taylor Chavez, they play like they've got ice in the veins. And it's going to be – they're not the same personality is Sabrina, but who is? But
right.
They certainly give us a lot of optimism for next season.
Talking with Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated, couple final thoughts. You're a big track and field guy, and I think because of all that's going on, I'm not saying it got lost, especially among Duck fans, but for those who were unaware, in Arkansas, there was a record set, and you're like, not only who said it, but who they beat.
Absolutely. It's called the DMR, medley relay, but they combine. They run 400, 800, 1200, and 1600. Well, they beat the Oregon record by 2 seconds, which in track is a lot. But the guys they beat are pretty well household names for Oregon track fans. Mike Berry was a fantastic 400-meter guy. I think he got second at the NCAA 1 year. Elijah Greer was fantastic, one of the best high school 800 guys, and he scored really well. And then you got Mac Fleet, the 1500, but Matt Centrowitz, who was an Olympian.
Yep.
and those four guys, these people we're talking about, I don't think most people have heard of. I mean, Cooper Tier probably. Somewhat, and James West a little bit, but Jacob Miller and Charlie Hunter. Wow, I just think you have a lot to look forward to this spring in outdoor track. This is indoor right now.
Right.
Just thought I'd give them some kudos because those are some household names, four of them all combined that they beat.
Well, you know they're household names because the four guys you're talking about whose record they beat, even I knew something about them.
Yeah, there you go.
And lastly, the softball team, you know, after the great run under Coach White and then the circumstances under which he left and then the defections, and obviously they kind of slid off the map last year, but Coach Lombardi with the players that stayed behind, Haley Cruz, and kind of the growing pains they went through last year and some really good recruits. And I get the level of competition from this point will go up, 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 in particular in conference. But unbeaten, and right now, I think going into the sixth inning, beating Notre Dame 2-1, I mean, you really can't ask for a better start in trying to get things better year two.
No, they've got a good nucleus with Cruz and then the infield, especially Bunker at second and Seavers, first team All-Pack 12, shortstop, all freshmen, and then no sophomores now, and then Sid at third. Sid was the Pac-12 player of the year last week.
Right.
So they've got that nucleus, but Jordan Dale has finally got reinforcements and some really good ones in the transfers of Diaz and Yanez. I'm probably saying that name not quite right.
Right.
But anyway, no, they should be fun to watch. I think they should be just about back to where, that's a big thing to say, as close to when Coach White had them here. But what they have now is depth at every position.
No.
I mean, Taylor McGowan is hitting home runs. Ariel Carlson, a freshman from Marist, is coming in and hitting well. And, oh, man, I mean, they've got so much. Every position is full now.
Yeah, it's amazing how they replenished so quickly. And in closing, I've got a copy of the magazine right here. Like I said, where can folks pick it up?
At your local Dairy Marts, your Duck Stores, your Oregon Stores, and Bi-Marts.
All right. Hey, JT, good stuff as always. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, about this time tomorrow, I should be at JFK in New York, your side of town.
Really? What are you doing there?
Film related.
Oh, okay. Well, travel safe, and good luck with Grand Central Parkway and the Van Wyck. It could be a lot of traffic.
Oh, that doesn't make me feel too good, but I guess I'll navigate it somehow.
All right. Good luck, JT.
Thank you.
Take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Anybody who travels to JFK, it's like, what's the traffic going to be like on Grand Central? Well, what about the Van Wyck? Is there another way to get there? You're just going to have to poke and hope. All right, 284-8571, your Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yeah, they are now five innings complete. The Ducks are softballers are taking on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, and they're up 2-1, trying to keep that unblemished record intact. All right, take a break, come back, wrap up the 4 o'clock hour on a Friday. 95.3 The Score.
95.3 The Score has a free app at 95.3thescore.com. Log on and put it on your smart device today. Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
I'll never forget, obviously, the Sports Illustrated cover after they defeated the Soviets. And there's this big, wide, toothless grin from Jack O'Callaghan. It was just pure joy. And they were falling all over each other. The country felt the same way. And I think that had a lot to do with it. But truly, you're right. In terms of it being amateurs against professionals, it's probably the last time we'll ever see it to that degree.
Tomorrow, the 40th anniversary. Are you sure? 21st? I always thought it was 222.
I've been reading February 21st.
You might be right.
Anniversary.
Or maybe tomorrow today, when they won the gold medal.
But they played just one the next day? They wouldn't even have had a day off?
I'm not 100% sure. to tell you the truth, you know what the joke is? Of course, now, if you tell somebody what's a miracle on ice, everybody knows it. When they the lead up to the game,
It is tomorrow.
If go ahead, say that on microphone.
It is tomorrow. I was a liar.
I always thought it was 2:22. It's a good way to remember. But I've had a debate with a couple of people here, and I'm not saying everybody. Most people, I feel comfortable saying about 90% of the people from back then, the lead up to the Americans playing the Soviets that day, because what was it? I think 11 days earlier, they got their ass kicked at Madison Square Garden in an exhibition 10-3 by the Soviets, and it could have been worse. But I've had people over the years say, is that the biggest upset in sports history? And the reason I say yes is because of what Al Michaels just said. First of all, we welcome you back. Home stretch, sports talk, the 4 o'clock hour on a Friday. Whether it's the Jets over the Colts in Super Bowl III, whether it's what else stands out? Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson. They were both professional boxers. The Jets and Colts both played professional football. The Soviet Red Army team were the best players in the Soviet Union. They were the best team in their professional league. I mean, the college kids that made up the Americans, whether it be Urizioni or Jack Callahan or Mike Ramsey and all of those guys, nobody looked at them and said, well, you're as good as the NHL players. I mean, that was unfathomable. And like the late, great Herb Brooks said, most nights or 9 out of 10 nights, they'll beat us, just not tonight. Or the way he said, just not tonight. And, you know, that team was Captain Courageous because they always fell behind. And in winning the gold medal game, remember, and by the way, I have to be very careful here because of what Herb Brooks said in the locker room between the first and second period. Because, you know, they talk about that, but, and I think your casual fan thinks, oh, they beat the Soviet Union, won the gold medal, got to the podium, Rizzo called them up. Nah, that's not really how it happened. That was the first game of the medal round, and then I think they had to beat the Swedes. And they fell behind, and who was the assistant then? Patrick, Craig Patrick, who's from royalty. I mean, before they just had North, South, East, West divisions and the Metropolitan and all this, there was like the Patrick Division, which was named for like his great-grandfather, who was like one of the NHL's founding fathers. So they're losing the gold medal game, and it was Finland. Sorry, they had tied Sweden earlier, which ended up helping them get into the medal round. And the Brooks, who had a tendency to, he could be a little long-winded, or he could just say what happened is so that they came in down 2-1 after the second period. And Mike Grizzioni, confirmed by everybody else, he just looked at them and said, if you lose this game, you'll take it to your effing graves. Then he just started walking out and then looked back and said, your effing graves. They scored 3 goals.
That was not in the PG-rated Miracle Disney film that came out. I don't remember hearing an F-bomb watching that movie.
No. I actually went to see that movie in the theater. And I had a friend of mine who at our old station used to do a show called Media Circus, where they would review movies. So I went and saw it, and I provided a review. And two movies come to mind whenever I think of why I like them so much. So, for example, have you ever seen Apollo 13?
No, actually. It's wow,
another one. All right, so Apollo 13 came out in the 90s. The flight was in 1970. I knew they were going to make it back.
Right. Sure.
Yet when I saw the movie, I was like, when they were, you know, whether it was iffy, whether they were, the heat shield was going to allow the LEM to come back through the atmosphere. And I know they're going to make it. And I'm like, and my wife said, so it's very symmetric. It's a 3-3 game. And Arizioni scores with exactly 10 minutes to go in the game, halfway through the third period. So they got to keep the Soviets off the board for 10 minutes, which never happened. And my wife said for like the last 4 minutes of the movie, which is probably a minute and a half of game time, I was clutching onto the onto the theater seats like I didn't know they were going to win the game.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just the drama and, you know, the Cold War, the height of the Cold War after, you know, the Soviet. There were doubts leading up that because of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, if the Americans were going to boycott the Winter Olympics in 1980. Remember, back then, they had the Olympics in February and then the Summer Olympics, you know, obviously in September and August and September. The Americans would boycott the Moscow Olympics, which in turn led to the Soviets boycotting the L.A. Olympics. But it's like I'm watching a movie where I could have recited everything that's going to happen, and I'm holding on to the seat like, come on, make a save. Clear it! Clear it! Do you believe in miracles? Yes! I so do! And
one of the cooler, like, afterward documentaries, I think it was like 5-6 years ago, ESPN did a 30 for 30 about the Russians.
Yeah, oh, that was awesome.
A couple of the guys who made it big in the NHL and talking about their training and how much work they had to go through. And one of the coolest things I ended up learning watching that documentary is on the U.S.'s game-winning goal, somebody sends in a pass from the point, and it goes between the blade of the skate and the boot of the skate. There's that little gap on the whole thing. The puck goes through that gap and then finds Yeruzioni, and that's how he got the puck and scored.
Yeah, guys like Karmeloff and Mikhailov and Tretiak were viewed as good as anybody in the world at their respective positions. All right, break time back. 5 o'clock hour. The weekend starts next. 95.3 The Score.
In my opinion, that sucked.